I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I am very happy to be joined by our next guest. It is my mentor, one of my favorite people to talk to. In my opinion, one of the top sports opinion makers in the world. Host of First Things First, also the What's Right with Nick Wright podcast. I've subscribed on YouTube and on Apple. Nick Wright joins us on the show today. Nick, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Much appreciated for the subscriptions. The last time I talked with you, I was still doing the morning show on FS1, but First Things First is now on in the afternoon. So for Kansas City folks, you can say it does go right up against you. So that's not ideal, but maybe people can DVR it from 2 to 3:30 Kansas City time. And what you mentioned about the podcast, yeah, we do it live on YouTube a couple times a week. People can subscribe. We're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers. YouTube sends you a cool little plaque that I'm going to give my son, who's my co-host on there. That's What's Right with Nick Wright, the show that I did in Kansas City where I – you know, made my bones in the radio business. We now do it on YouTube a few times a week. Thanks for having me on. The Chiefs are going to kick the Bengals' ass. I know you're Chicken Little with the Chiefs, but I'm going to convince you by the end of this.
No, I have certainly not been Chicken Little this week. I'm not even going to let you put that energy out there. I actually wanted to ask you a personal question before we talk about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because people always ask me questions about you, and, you know, I answer them.
Sure.
So I remember when I realized you were a big deal when you were interviewing Roger Goodell. And I was like, yo, like, Nick is like a really, really important person. Have you had that moment where you were like, man, I did it. You told stories about selling steaks door to door, and now you're one of the biggest sports people in media.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. I don't know. When we launched the TV show 5.5 years ago, we briefly had a billboard in Times Square, so that was pretty dope. And then it just becomes your job, you know what I mean? Then this is just what you do. So I would say the most recent time I had that type of moment would have been about, I don't know, 9-10 months ago when I was sitting down interviewing Lil Wayne for the podcast. An interview that got set up because he reached out to me and asked me if he could come on the podcast. So that was pretty dope. There was also a time a few years ago where I was at a club in Houston, actually, because I went back for a Rockets-Lakers game and to see some friends there. And as it happened, the Lakers showed up at the bar and I see Jared Dudley there and I know Jared. So I walked over to say hi to him. And walking right behind him was LeBron. And before I could even say anything, LeBron started laughing and said, "My man, Nick, what are you doing here?" And I hadn't seen him ever, like, in that type of context. So those would be the moments for me. And when I, you know, the last thing I'll say on that, and then we can talk, you'd be less self-aggrandizing. Every time you reach out and ask me on, I'm like, man, I've made it.
Yo,
Arrington
relax,
wants
all
me
right?
on the show. No,
relax.
I'm serious.
Because, I always like telling people the story. Like, I was going through contract issues, and you were really helpful in that situation. And one time you were like, "I'll call you back." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, whenever." And then you called me back and was like, "Oh, I was talking to Odell." Like, Odell who? Like, Odell Beckham. That was like a real soft flex that you had there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was years ago. I don't need that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do remember that. By the way, I mean, I think that was like 4 years ago. And I think since then you've probably gone through, you know, three more contract negotiations because, man, if I remember Intercom, which is now Odyssey, those things always go super swimmingly, easily. Everyone feels great at the end of them. But that's not what you brought me on to talk about. You brought me on to talk Chiefs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just like asking you questions about you because I would say your favorite topics are you and then the Chiefs are second. So let's talk about the Chiefs here.
You asked me. I was not trying to talk about myself, but go ahead.
So you said that I'm being Chicken Little. You know I'm being Chicken Little. So I will ask you. Chiefs will win. Why? Because I think we can be honest here, Nick. I think this is the first time in a long time in a playoff game that the Chiefs are not the better team. Cincinnati's better than Kansas City. Cincinnati has more weapons than Kansas City. They have a better defense than Kansas City. Cincinnati is a better football team than the Chiefs. The Chiefs can still win this football game, but this is one of the few times they are going up against a team better than them.
So you're doing exactly what I said. What evidence, if Cincinnati's better than the Chiefs, then why didn't they have a better record? Why didn't they score more points? Why did they need a miraculous play to beat Tyler Huntley? If they're better than the Chiefs, why over the course of a 17 or 16 game season did they not demonstrate that?
Well, I would say the early part of the season, Burrow wasn't fully healthy, so they just got off to an incredibly so start. And I would also say that styles make fights, that you're right, maybe Kansas City is better against the other 30 teams in the league, but they have not matched up really well against Cincinnati. And at this point with the Chiefs are only matched up, I would say, against two teams. How do you look against Buffalo? How do you look up against Cincinnati? They've done really well against Buffalo over the last few years or so. They have not done really well against Cincinnati.
I disagree. I totally disagree. Because the fact of the matter is this, at least in my opinion. Let's go through game by game. Hold on one second. Yo, I'm doing an interview real quick. My apologies. Hey, appreciate you watching. Yeah, give me a second, though. So the first matchup, the Chiefs, if you want to, I think if, probably with good reason, maybe took them a little lightly, got up 14 points, and then stopped, and then the Bengals, to their credit, came back and won. Good for them. The second matchup in the AFC Championship game, we all know what happened. It was not some brilliant adjustment. It was not Joe Burrow catching fire. It was that for the first time in Patrick Mahomes' 6 or 5 year career up to that point, he short-circuited. It was a one-half version of LeBron's 2011 finals. Something happened to him mentally after the mistake at the end of the first half, and he played the worst half of football he's ever played. We've never seen anything like it before or since. And even with that, they barely escaped with a win. And then this year, the Chiefs are up 4 driving, and the greatest tight end ever fumbles the ball. Despite that, they would have been fine. But Andy Reid, in my opinion, made a very bad decision in trusting the kicker instead of trusting Mahomes, and they lose the game. And so this idea that, oh, the Chiefs can't beat this team, I just flatly disagree with. And there is – I was amazed at the amount of people that are afraid of the Bengals, that people that were saying who – and I'm sure this was a topic on your show – who should the Chiefs be rooting for, Bengals or Bills? Like, well, the Bills, we don't get a home game, but the Bengals what? The Bengals in Joe Burrow's 6 playoff games have never scored 28 points and have never scored a fourth quarter touchdown on offense. Like, the Chiefs are better than them. And so Mahomes' injury, of course, that concerns me, but it looks like he's in pretty good shape, and I just think they're the better team.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Wright here joining us on the show, but this would be my counter to what you're saying. Cause I certainly don't feel like the Chiefs can't win this game. I would say that Cincinnati probably has a 52 to 55% advantage in this. They're the healthier team. Their quarterback is certainly healthier. And I like their defense more than I like Kansas City's. But I will say, though, when you mentioned the second half, I mean, in those 3 matchups, Cincinnati outscores Kansas City 2 times, 17-3 in the second half, and then the last matchup, 10-0 in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs have typically been the team that made the late penalty or the late turnover to lose those games. Happening 3 times is not a fluke to me in that. Like, Cincinnati is doing something that causes problems for Kansas City, where I think Kansas City normally makes teams pay for their mistake. Like, basically, every time they play the Chargers, they make the Chargers pay for their mistake. The Chargers will do something late, and then the Chiefs will make them pay, and then they'll win this close ball game. I think the same thing kind of happens to Kansas City against Cincinnati. It's close. Kansas City makes one mistake, and then Cincinnati answers for it, and then makes them pay.
But I guess my point is that is what happened in the matchup this year. And I give Cincinnati credit for that. The AFC Championship game last year, and people can say I'm being a homer. I don't think I am. I am throwing out in its entirety. It is we have never seen anything like that. Yes, if Patrick Mahomes plays like a bottom five quarterback, the Chiefs are going to lose. But he's never done that previously to that or since that. And there's a lot of other elements here that I just think are being overstated. Like you just said flippantly, Cincinnati's a healthier team. No, they are not. The same reason that people thought the Bills could give Cincinnati real trouble, the missing the three starting offensive linemen, now applies to the Chiefs, a team that has the best D tackle in football, a team that was second in the league in sacks, second in pressures, second in quarterback hits. The Bills couldn't deal with the snow, and their pass rush didn't exist once Von Miller went down. The Chiefs, Chris Jones, without hitting Joe Burrow, can dominate this game because he can. You have to double-team him every single play, and that's why Frank Clark is fourth all-time in playoff sacks. And I think Joe Burrow is the second-best quarterback in football. I've been saying that all year when everyone was trying to prematurely anoint Josh Allen. I think Burrow is that type of guy. However, Patrick Mahomes, I also believe, is the most talented player in the history of the sport. And a guy who, if you look at his playoff resume, every single year he's been legendary. In 2018, in his first playoff run, he scored 24 fourth quarter points and had three separate fourth quarter comebacks, including one with 30 seconds left, to get to overtime against the Patriot dynasty and then didn't get the coin flip. We all know what happened in 2019, but just to remind people, not just the 24-0 to 51-31, they scored 21 points in less than 6 minutes in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. The very next year, he scored damn near 40 to go back to the Super Bowl and then played what I thought was a somewhat heroic performance that is not reflected in the box score. And then the very next year, he had one of the greatest performances in playoff history against the Bills and was playing a perfect half of football before he short-circuited. And then this year, he was going to play a perfect game against the Jags, ends up being on one leg, and finds a way to be legendary again. This guy being considered the underdog at home is nonsense. It's just nonsense. And the Bengals, I want to say one other thing. What is prior to the Bills game, what is the playoff game the Bengals looked amazing in? There is not one. The game against the Raiders when they scored three fourth-quarter points and Derek Carr was afraid to throw the ball into the end zone. The game against the Titans when they were going to lose but Ryan Tannehill threw his third interception with 20 seconds left in the game and they scored three fourth-quarter points at the gun to win that game. The Chiefs game when the Chiefs were imploding the entirety of the second half, and I give them credit for what they did, but they scored 3 points in the fourth quarter of that game. The Super Bowl, when they blew the fourth quarter lead, the Ravens game, when they were en route to losing until the Tyler Huntley 14-point swing, the Bills game, they were great, and everyone is giving them massive credit for it, and they should. Now, part of that is the fact people still have overrated a Bills team that every year their defense is exposed in the playoffs. But forget that. The Chiefs are not losing this football game. Now, in the Super Bowl, if Mahomes is really hampered with the injury, we'll see. But they're not losing this football game.
Right now, we're joined by Nick Wright of First Things First. Also, check out his podcast, What's Right with Nick Wright. You can get it wherever you get podcasts for or on YouTube. Nick, I think that the Bengals are acting like the 08 Celtics, even though they didn't win the championship last year. Like, I've never heard a team – now, they made the Super Bowl last year. I'll give them that. I've never seen a team accomplish just that and talk as much as Cincinnati's talked over the last 3 weeks or so. I then look at Eli Apple. He might be – he might be the worst player to then be such a big trash talker. It just, their whole energy is just very off right now to me.
Well, that, listen, I have not liked how the Bengals have conducted themselves ever since the DeMar Hamlin tragedy. I didn't like Joe Mixon doing the coin flip thing. I certainly didn't like Joe Mixon saying we're the big dogs of the AFC. Don't like anything Eli Apple's been saying. I agree with that entirely. You'll notice the one guy on the Bengals not saying anything is Joe Burrow, because he knows better. And Burrow understands the challenge at hand. And, yeah, I mean, listen, if the Bengals win, they are the team of the conference for the time being. You make back-to-back Super Bowls, and to get to both of them, you go through the team of the era in their building, then you get to become the new team of the era. Those are the stakes here. And, yes, I have minor trepidation because of Patrick's injury. But the Bengals in their six playoff games have never scored 28 points. The Chiefs have played 10 playoff games that Patrick Mahomes started and finished. They have scored 31 or more in 8 of them. I don't think the Bengals are getting to 35, and that's what I think it's going to take to win this game.
So, Nick, we were debating this earlier on the show. I don't think that there's really a knock to either player's legacy in this game. Like, I think there's only positives. Like, if you're Burrow, you lost on the road to Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game. Like, no one's knocking Burrow historically for that. If you're Mahomes, you've got the ankle. You've also just won MVP. Like, I don't think this year's a knock to his legacy at all. But then on the other side, if Mahomes wins and you win this AFC Championship game with your injury, legend grows. If you're Burrow and you do what you just said, where you go back-to-back years to Arrowhead and win, the legend grows. I've heard a lot about what this game means from a legacy standpoint. I don't think it's a negative for either quarterback. I think it's only positives on both sides.
So I think in the long term, that is true. In the short term, if Mahomes loses, the takes will be unbearable. Absolutely unbearable from the national media and maybe from some in the local media. Like, that's something you have to prepare yourself for. There is, listen, Joe Burrow has more career. I'm not a quarterback wins losses guy, but this is worth noting. Joe Burrow in his career has more losses already than Patrick Mahomes. We also already know the numbers are not even close. There is no argument whatsoever that Burrow is better than Mahomes. But it will be coming fast and furious if they win this game. And you know what? That's what sports bragging rights are fair. They will have won twice in the Chiefs building. So be it. I just won't buy it.
Last thing here, Nick, and we'll get you out of here. Can you start a fight with some player on the Nets and go viral? Like, we got to pick like Patty Mills or somebody for you to sit courtside and then get into an argument with a random NBA player.
No. So here's the thing. I don't want to talk about this too much. What I will say, because, 610 Sports Radio Hall of Famer Danny Parkins hit me up about that and asked me what would happen if that were me and blah, 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 blah. Those are not fair comps for two reasons. One is, I do think you get a level of dispensation if you are literally a Hall of Fame athlete that is now a media member. So I think that is different. But the real reason it's different is, if me or anyone else in my position were to do that, everyone would know they don't really want the smoke. They just know the players can't hit them. The situation you're referring to, the media member was the overwhelming favorite in the altercation. So it didn't feel phony. So, yeah, but no, I won't be doing that. I am a Nets season ticket holder. If you ever come to New York, you know, maybe you can go to a game, but I know you don't like getting on airplanes. But, yeah, I'm there, but I'm not. Listen, I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know that, Karen.
I mean, I would love to come to a Nets playoff game. My fear is that they're only going to be in it for one round. That's normally my fear.
To be clear, I didn't invite you to a playoff game.
Oh, I get like,
I said you could come.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing the Pistons in about 90 minutes. If you can get here in time, I'll give you a couple tickets.
Okay, so you're telling me I got like Nets Kings, and you got me for that.
Well, the Kings, you know, my wife's from Sacramento. I can't give you the Nets Kings tickets either. But maybe
I got
Nets
Raptors. Hornets.
Nets Hornets. You know what? Nets Hornets, I'm marking you down. You're
all right.
In.
Nick, I appreciate you, my man.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Chiefs by a million. Bye.
Absolutely. That's Nick Wright joining us on the show today. I can't get better than the Nets Hornets. That's the best I could do. That's the best our relationship is worth. Nets Hornets.
I mean, he did have that conversation while making margaritas in the background, so that's fun. I mean, there was – I like the part of the interview where –
You know what?
The point of the interview where he literally stopped and some dude had clearly grabbed him during, on the stream, like, hey, man, other show. He's like, yeah, thanks. Hold on. I'm going to finish this interview. That was the highlight of the interview.
Oh, yeah, someone on the line, what is Nick doing? It's hard enough to get Nick on the phone. I just let Nick do what he wants to do in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Nick's like Patrick Mahomes. You can't rein him in. You just got to let him run his offense. You know, I just try to guide him. And I just try to do the best that I can to get him on here. You know, I don't try to ask Nick to come on very often. Rob, you know, I ask Nick to come on maybe 3 times a year. I just don't bother him. You know, we'll talk about other things, but I just don't bother him. I feel like this was an important enough game that, you know, hey, can you come on the show today? But I just don't, you know, I don't know if we're getting Nick right quietly in the office talking to us. It's like, do you want him on or not? You know, that's kind of how I think about it. We don't have enough time to do the hits now. There's no hit time right now. There's no time to do the hits, man. I'm a little disappointed that we don't have any time to do the hits. So we'll get to that coming up on the other side. We'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City or so. To keep on with the theme, Cincinnati has been doing a lot of talking. Here is the mayor of Cincinnati. Listen to how cringy this is.
It is so galvanizing and energizing that our Cincinnati Bengals are again in the AFC Championship. Yes, that's right. Who day, baby? Who day? I will be going on Saturday morning. I'll be arriving in Kansas City, so I'll be at the game at Burrowhead Stadium. See what I did there? No? No? Okay. I love that.
Yo. You got to resign your post if that's the joke that you make. You got to resign your post. Have to. Embarrassing. Oh, get it? Get it? No. You know that feeling you have when you go up for a high five and there's nobody to high five you? That's what just happened in an audio form. Hey, you got me? You got me? You got me? Nobody's got you. Not a single person has you in that situation. Not a one. I'd be really curious what you guys think about this. 913-586-7610. Like, Rob thinks that I am somewhat crazy with this stance. He thinks I'm somewhat crazy. I don't think that this game is a knock for either player. If you're Patrick Mahomes, I think you get a little bit of a free roll because of the ankle injury. I just think you get a little bit of, hey, you know, you're a little bit banged up. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes would play in this game if it was a Week 8 game. Like, would any of us be surprised if the Chiefs just said, hey, you know what? He's way too important. We got more important games to play. We're sitting Patrick down for this week. Like, I don't think any of us would be surprised given what we had just saw. I don't think he comes back in the game if it's a regular season game. Like, I know it's a playoff, so I get all that. I don't think he goes in the second half of a week 13 regular season game with the injury that he just had. So I think he gets a little bit of a pass this week if they lose from a historical standpoint. From a historical standpoint, when we look back at that, the same way we talk about the, hey, if they had had Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, they would have won the Super Bowl. Like, we watched the game. We understand the circumstances behind Kansas City losing. I think we'll also remember this in Mahomes' legacy. Hey, those two teams were pretty evenly matched. The biggest difference in the game was that Mahomes wasn't fully healthy. So I think he gets a little bit of a pass. If you're Joe Burrow, I think you get a little bit of a pass in this game too. It's hard enough to win at Arrowhead once. Going to Arrowhead 2 consecutive years, beating the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think we look back at Burrow's career as this being some big missed opportunity. But if either quarterback wins, you can already see the way that the narrative will be spun. If you're Joe Burrow, you want to talk about really cementing the Joe Cool. You went to the loudest stadium in the world 2 consecutive years and left with the belt. It will be undeniable at that point. He will have twice as many road playoff wins as Peyton Manning, twice as many road playoff wins as Joe Montana in his second playoff appearance. The whole legend of Joe Cool will be through the roof if they win on Sunday. If you're Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes is just building, I would say, Jordan memories now at this point. He's got the run against the Tennessee Titans. You know how with Jordan, there's like 15 all-time Jordan plays. There's the layup against the Lakers. There's the shrug against the Portland Trailblazers. There's the last shot against the Utah Jazz. Like, there's 15 Jordan memories that you think of. The dunk on Ewing. You know what I mean? Patrick Mahomes has like 8 of those. This will be right up there if they win this football game. Ankle grits through it, makes a play. You know Mahomes will be super fired up, and that's especially, can you imagine he runs for a touchdown in this game? The kind of emotion we're going to see from Patrick Mahomes. This will be another one on his why I'm the greatest quarterback you've ever seen greatest hits list. This will be on there. If he wins this football game at 80-85%, his first win against Cincinnati, or first win against Joe Burrow, first win against Burrow, not fully healthy, third Super Bowl in 4 years. I think there's only positives for both teams from a narrative perspective. I don't think there is a single negative. Well, there might be one. I'll tell you what Rob's been arguing on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT. The voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis, joins the show every Monday starting at 4 o'clock.
Travis Kelce's on his own planet. When you look at it empirically, there is no way to compare him to anybody else.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ow! Yeah! Our NFL playoff coverage on 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks. We can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. I've just been told that Fat Joe is performing at halftime for your Kansas City Chiefs. You know what I'm starting? Arrowhead loves 2000s hip-hop and R&B. Didn't we have Ashanti last year sing the national anthem?
We had Nelly, yeah.
Nelly perform, Lil Jon last week, and now Fat Joe? Love some 2000s hip-hop over at Arrowhead. Do you think you can name another Fat Joe song other than Lean Back, Rob?
Absolutely not.
Just curious if you think you can name another one.
Nope, not even a little bit.
I would love to be a part of those meetings when they're like, hey, you know, what's the halftime performer? And they're like, you know what? Let's just go pick up Now 11 and let's see who is really popular. And then we'll just randomly decide which one of these guys we want.
I just hope that
can we get Petey Pablo at the next one? I would take a little Petey Pablo.
Wave around your head like a helicopter. Didn't see that one coming, did ya?
yeah. The text line said, make it rain. I remember that song.
Do you remember last year at halftime when they had the speakers right in front of the CBS crew?
Yeah, you couldn't hear anything. No, I do remember that. That was
I hope we hear Lean Back
fun.
Instead of Phil Sims.
That was very
Phil,
fun.
Your breakdown, Lean Back.
Yeah, that was very, very funny. Someone said we should get Big Pun to come to Arrowhead. Well, he's dead, so I don't think that Big Pun will be performing at Arrowhead anytime soon. Text line 913-586-7610. Fat Joe is your halftime entertainment at Arrowhead. I do think there is one potential small negative that people would try to draw if the Chiefs lose in the AFC Championship game. I think there's like one very small. Now, if some of you guys are not going to be honest with this take, some of you guys criticize LeBron for his finals record. He has made the finals 10 times and has 4 rings. Well, how can he be the best? Look, He's only won 4 out of the 10. Jordan was 6-for-6 in NBA Finals. 6-for-6. Some of you guys have made that argument. A lot of those arguments will be used against Patrick Mahomes if they lose. And it will be just as foolish as it is for LeBron towards Patrick Mahomes. Are people really going to argue? Because we know this is going to happen if the Chiefs lose. Are people going to argue that it's better to just go to 2 AFC championship games and win both of them than to go to 5 and only win 2 of them? Like, in one vein, we can't talk about how historic it is to host 5 of them and then also use it as a negative that you have been to the AFC championship that many times. You can't simultaneously do both. We can't mock the Cowboys for not going to the NFC championship game since 1995 while simultaneously knocking another team for going. And we know that's what's going to happen if they lose. It's stupid. It is dumb. It is one of the worst sports arguments that people try to make. It is not made in good faith. If you are talking to somebody at the barbershop or at the bar and that's an argument that they make, stop talking to them. Get on your phone. Do something else. That is not a person I want to debate sports with. It will be very silly in any capacity to use this as a knock against Patrick Mahomes that they have made it what could be 5 times. Well, it is 5 times, and they have a 2-3 record. I just think that's a silly knock to me. I'm not going to be the person that makes that knock. But I think the win here, this would be, I would say, obviously removing the Super Bowl. This will be the biggest win of Patrick Mahomes' career. This will be the biggest win. Aside from beating San Francisco, if we are doing a power ranking of biggest wins in Patrick Mahomes' career, the Super Bowl is 1. I don't care how he played, it's 1. This will be 2. It will be bigger than the win against the Titans. It will be bigger than the one against the Buffalo Bills if they win this football game and go to their 3rd Super Bowl in 4 years. It will be the 2nd biggest win of his career if they win. When you factor in the opponent, their history against the opponent, and the health of their quarterback, it will be the 2nd biggest win of his time here in Kansas City. I will not let anybody put an asterisk on it. It's silly. It's dumb. Doesn't make any sense. Another thing that doesn't make any sense to me, if we're just going to run through things that don't make sense to me, I think people are being a little bit unfair to Joe Burrow. I think they're being a little bit unfair. I've seen people say this. I'm not saying you particularly have said this, but I've seen people say, well, look at how much talent he got. Of course you'd be good if you had those weapons. We can't simultaneously say that football is the ultimate team game and then start knocking good players for playing on good teams. How do you think you win really important games? How do you think you accomplish great things if you're not surrounded by great players? You gotta be surrounded by great players to do things. The same way that it was dumb that people tried to knock Patrick Mahomes by being drafted by an organization that had Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and went and picked up Sammy Watkins and did all of these things. The same way that it was dumb that people tried to make those arguments against Patrick Mahomes, it is now equally as dumb that people are trying to do that to Joe Burrow. You don't accomplish really great things without playing with really great people. As great as Michael Jordan was early in his career, you want to know when he started winning? When they got Scottie Pippen, when they got Tony Kukoc, when they got Dennis Rodman. Because at some point, you got to pass the ball to somebody. Other people have to score. Other people have to have success in order for you to be your absolute best. I think it's silly that we try to do that with guys. Now, I will say this. I would say up to this point, the transition from Patrick Mahomes is more important because Patrick is starting to lose weapons. He lost Tyreek Hill. He doesn't have the running game that I believe that Joe Burrow has, and he has been able to maintain his level of play. Burrow hasn't had to deal with that yet. Let's see what that looks like with Joe Burrow. I still think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think he's proven that now at this point. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is going anywhere. So as long as you got that guy on your team, you'll always be all right. And as long as you put another productive wide receiver on the other side, he will always have one-on-one coverage because he has arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. The same way that Patrick Mahomes has the greatest tight end maybe we have ever seen on the other side. You just don't do great things without having great players. I think it's silly that we try to knock quarterbacks for playing on teams with talent. Because then if you don't play with enough talent, you know what you don't do? You don't win big games. You normally lose to a team like Kansas City that has more talent than you. I just think it's a silly argument on both sides.
It's become funny to me in Kansas City that they have used the rookie quarterback stat as now a weapon against other quarterbacks. As if Patrick Mahomes didn't also thrive from the rookie contract in Kansas City. Before he got his mega extension, the Chiefs were able to load up on expensive defensive talent and all this and all that because he won his mega contract. I'm aware of the stat. I know that Mahomes is now back in the championship game, or the conference championship game, excuse me, with the mega contract, and it's really, really impressive. But to hold this, well, only rookie quarterbacks do it because all talent around him against Joe Burrow, it's very possible the GM of the Bengals, who has built a very good roster, is able to continue to build a really good roster around Joe Burrow. The same way, I know Josh Allen has never ascended to the Super Bowl heights, the Bills had a good roster this year, and guess what? He has a mega contract. Smart GMs, smart coaches, smart organizations make it work with quarterback and still having good weapons despite that rookie contract stat.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit more why I think Patrick Mahomes has a free role in this game in terms of a legacy perspective. We'll talk about that. And also, one of the crazier things that I can think of happened at a college basketball game yesterday. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive, your spot to hear friend of the show, Andy Reid.
Call me anything you want. Call a lot of worse things than that right there now.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I want to get back to the Chiefs. I just remembered this happened, and I have to tell you guys this story. You guys will find this story very funny, and I think my penance has been paid. So Rob's birthday is coming up. So I took Rob to where I go to get my, you know, vintage sports apparel. So if you've ever seen me on, you know, TV and, you know, you've liked my vintage jacket, there's one place that I get it from. So I take Rob to the place. First time I've ever taken him before. I was like, you know what, Rob? For your birthday, get yourself something, man. I got you. Rob's looking around. He's kind of asking me my thoughts and my opinions on what he's getting. I'm just like, Rob, get what you want. Get what you like. Rob then picks up two KU jackets. One KU jacket is significantly cheaper than the other jacket. Significantly cheaper than the other one. He's like, I can't decide. I'm like, well, get which one you like. How much do they cost? Rob then tells me how much they cost, looks at me, and then hands me the drastically more expensive one and says, this is the one I want. Well, hold on, you like both of them. What's wrong with the other jacket? Nah, I just like this one more. No, you didn't like it more. You didn't like it more. So I'm telling you guys this story because I want you guys to know that I'm not nearly as cheap as you guys make me seem. You guys had such sympathy for Alex Gold when he had a gift card. He spent an extra $7 on a gift card for me. And it was, how could Carrington do this? Rob looked at the two tags and then looked at me with a smirk and then handed me the more expensive jacket. I'm like, oh, this is the one I want. Who's looking out for me? Where's my sympathy at in this situation? Jump down Rob's throat the way you guys would if it was me in this situation. See, that's my problem. You guys aren't fair. You aren't consistent. It's not right. I don't do you guys like that. I try to be fair and balanced. You guys aren't fair and balanced, man, and it bothers me. I go home and I weep about it. I really do. Inside, I cry. Ain't nobody praying for me, though. It's messed up. It's wrong how Rob did me earlier today. And I had to tell you guys, it just popped in my mind. It just hit me that Rob played me earlier today. He played me is what he did.
I gave you ample opportunity to be like, nah, take the cheap one. But you kept saying, pick which one you want. Pick what you want.
No, you pick.
Well,
you got
I
want to
look
wanted.
Nice. I want to look good.
You know, you got what you wanted.
I'm not going to lie. The salespeople were very friendly once I'm like, this one. They were like, oh, come on over.
No, they're great.
I'll check you out.
Great. I love that store. I'm a big fan. I tell anybody. I'm not like trying to gatekeep it. Reset over on Westport. That's if you are into vintage sports stuff, that is the place to go. Go stop by. They got Royals, Chiefs, Mizzou, KU, K-State. If you are into vintage sports pieces, that is where I go to pick them up. Someone on the text line asked this question. Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, do you think Patrick Mahomes starts to get compared to Aaron Rodgers and not Tom Brady if he loses on Sunday? Obviously, both great, but Rodgers started fast and never got to another Super Bowl. I think this is a fair question. I do want to say that before I answer. I think this is a fair question. I want to also respectfully say that this is wrong with how we discuss sports. Patrick Mahomes is 27 years old. Aaron Rodgers is almost 40. We were not saying this about Aaron Rodgers when he was 30 years old. You know, we started saying it when he was 35. We will know when the clock starts again for Patrick Mahomes. We will know. I don't think we're at that point yet. I think it started for Aaron Rodgers because everybody else started having as many rings as he did. He had his one, and then Breeze got his one, and then Russell Wilson got one, and then Tom Brady kept winning rings, and then Mahomes got one. So he started to have as many as his contemporaries. Then you look up, and you're like, hold on, like, you've been playing this game for one, two, three, four, start counting fingers and toes. And you're like, hold on, you've been in the league for 13 years and only have one Super Bowl appearance, only have one ring? Yo, what's up? That's not where we are with Patrick Mahomes. This is Patrick Mahomes' fifth year as a starter. He has two appearances and one ring. Now, if he gets to year 11 and that's still the case, then yeah, sure, we can have that conversation. I just think some of these conversations happen way too prematurely. Way too prematurely. We're still, what, in the first, I don't know, 35 minutes of the Patrick Mahomes movie? And it's a two-hour-long movie. Let's see what happens. Let's see the plot twist. Let's see the plot twist. What do the Chiefs look like when Andy Reid's not the head coach? What do they look like when Travis Kelce's not the greatest tight end we've ever seen before? There's so many other questions to start asking. So I just think that is a very premature conversation for Patrick Mahomes, that's not a conversation that I will entertain. I know some of you guys think I'm just hot take sports guy. Maybe sometimes. I mean, we all are if you do this long enough. But that's just not a conversation that I'm willing to have. Let's see. You can't have that conversation when you're 27 and none of your other contemporaries have a ring. It's not like Allen has one ring and Burrow has one ring and Lamar Jackson has one ring and then Jalen Hurts and then, you know, some other random college quarterback that we're not discussing yet. He's the only one from his generation who has a championship. He's the only one. So as long as that's the case, the clock hasn't started yet. Now, if Burrow gets this one and Burrow has the two appearances and he has the one, all right, maybe we can have some different conversations. But that's just not where we are. I'll go ahead and tell you guys a little bit of what we have planned tomorrow. Tamba Ali, 5 o'clock hour, whole hour. He will be here. Nate Taylor will be on the show. I'm going to save the other. We still got one small surprise for tomorrow, too. It's AFC Championship week. You know I'm putting my best foot forward for you guys. All right. I'm out of here. Take care until tomorrow. Very excited for tomorrow's show. Hopefully you are as well. Take care. It's the drive.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.